Now, we'll be getting on to the topic of fracking in just a moment, but another issue that's been causing environmental campaigners some concern recently is the badger cull, which is intended to restrict the spread of bovine tuberculosis. Roland Keogh is a professor of mathematical population biology at the University of Glasgow. He uses theoretical models to investigate the dynamics of infectious livestock diseases, including bovine TB. So, Roland, why is tuberculosis important?
Well, tuberculosis is an important human disease. The bovine form of it does infect humans, so there's certainly a risk of zoonoses. Now, the risk is not very great, so one of the big reasons why we're worried about it is because our status as a country which has a high level of bovine TB means that we are seriously affected in terms of our trade within the EU.
So how do you go about studying something like this?
Well, there have been all sorts of ways that people have been looking at the disease, certainly in the past 30 years. The key one being, of course, epidemiological field investigations. You look at the situation and you see what is the most likely cause of infection. Now, the most controversial one is the randomized badger culling trial conducted from about 1998 for onwards the next 8 years, where there was a large study which looked at comparing culling badgers as a way of controlling TB and not culling badgers.
And what did they find?
Well, they found that there is a definite link between the two of them. Okay, so the one thing we really know is that if you do something to the cattle population, it affects TB in badgers. If you do something to the badger population, it affects TB in cattle. The problem is we don't actually know the direction of that effect. So it could make things better or it could make things worse.
Okay, so how do you think TB spreads between animals?
Well, TB is spread essentially through aerosolized particles from the lungs. Now, there are a variety of mechanisms by which it can go from individual to individual. So, for example, some people think the environment is involved. So a cow might cough up TB bacteria, then it might lay in the environment for a while and be picked up by another cow, or it could be a badger doing the same thing, or it could be direct contact between animals. But the truth is that it's very difficult to do experiments to actually understand this conclusively, and so we actually don't have that well quantified either.
You're a professor of mathematical population biology. How can maths help you study something that seems to be to do with animals and bacteria?
In this case, what we have is a whole series of partial pieces of evidence. So, for example, we know something about the way cattle herds are linked together because we record the movements of the cows between them. We know something about the way the badgers are linked to the cattle because we know where the badgers are, roughly speaking, and we know where the cattle are. We know the timing of events. And in terms of our particular studies that we're looking at right now, we're looking at how the sequences of the bacteria that are taken from cattle and badgers are related to each other. And all these various bits of information need to be fit together in a way that makes sense. And that's where the mathematics and the statistics come in, because not one single piece of evidence actually gives us a conclusive picture.
Could these kind of methods be applied to other diseases, or do they only work for this kind of tuberculosis?
Well, it certainly has been applied successfully for many viruses. So, for example, in the pandemic flu outbreak we had a couple of years ago, whole genome sequencing, so this look at very detailed look at the changes in the genetic structure of the virus in this case, was used successfully to trace the diseases that pass from country to country. Now, we're in a very different situation here, where because the bacteria are much larger than the virus, much more expensive to do the work, and also because the variation in the genetics is much less, there's a lot less information there, but it's nevertheless incredibly valuable information. So there's good precedent for using it. We just have to be a bit more clever about how we're using it. I'm not to say that those people who obviously do the virus are very clever indeed, but we have to be clever in a different way in order to use the same kind of data.
So what kind of differences are there, and what do you have to do to actually make it work in this example?
Well, there's two major things that are a problem. The first of which is that the bacteria itself doesn't change that much from individual to individual. Now, our estimates are that we get about 1 in every 4 bacteria might be changed over the course of years. You get a 0.25 changes in the number, an actual mutation in the bacteria over the course of the year. Now, that's very, very little change. What it means is we can't simply look at one individual or another, look at the bacteria in the two individuals, and say, aha, this individual gave it to that one. Okay, we don't have quite that much information. So that's the first thing. The second one is that because badgers are almost certainly involved to some extent, we're missing half of the information. We have very little information of the badgers. Now, we're working with people at the AHVLA to get more detailed information from the badgers, but nevertheless, there isn't anywhere near as much there available, say, compared to the cattle, which are tested every single year and for which bacteria are gotten on a regular basis.
So what do we need to do? When will we actually know whether a badger cull would be effective?
It's going to take a while. I mean, first of all, the current badger culls that are being done are not being done essentially as scientific trials. So there's no way to gauge whether the effect of them is due to the culling itself. There's so many other things that are going to be going on at the same time. So that alone isn't going to tell us anything. These data that we're collecting, looking across much larger areas, give us, in a sense, a more comprehensive picture. But at the same time, it's very difficult still to identify any single cause. So, you know, what we have is the ability to get data which is at a much higher resolution than ever before. So we've got a much better chance of picking up differences, say, in an area with culling and without. But it would still undoubtedly be at least several years, if for no other reason than because TB is a very slow-moving disease.
So still lots more work to do.
There is indeed.
Thanks so much to Roland Keogh from the University of Glasgow.